Welcome to the Life Tools Sermon Audio Podcast. Life Tools is an online resource at the Bill Rice Ranch in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Listen now to another dynamic message preached at the Bill Rice Ranch Summer Camp Ministry.
Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus chapter number 14, and we'll take a look at verse number 10. Exodus chapter number 14 and verse number 10. What a great God we serve. I'm so thankful that He saved a sinner like me. There's some of you, you got saved the last few days, and you'll realize you've made the right choice. There's nothing better than knowing for certain you're going to heaven and living for Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you don't know for certain that you're going to heaven, my friend, you can know and you can trust in Jesus Christ today. Exodus 14, as you find it, let's go ahead and stand at respect of God's Word. We'll go ahead and get going this morning, Exodus chapter number 14, take a look at verse number 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there are no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The title of the message this morning is Dealing with Drama. Dealing with Drama. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we love you so much, and Father, I thank you for your word that it has all the answers. Lord, the teenagers here this morning are going through a dramatic time in their life, and they're dealing with emotions, and you know, some of them are going through a hard time with different circumstances that are going through their life. Lord, I pray that we will remember these truths so we can deal with dramatic experiences the right way. Lord, I pray that you be with me and that you fill me with the Spirit's power, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may take your seat. You know, being a teenager is such a fun time. There's a lot of things that's going on, and physically and emotionally and things. And so often we can find ourselves, you know, in dramatic experiences. You know, it seems like with some teenagers, they're always going through a dramatic experience. It's almost like they're making up dramatic experiences to make them dramatic experiences. Look at my cup! It's not totally full of orange juice. It looks weird. I don't know how to handle this. I don't like the cup. I don't like how the way the orange juice looks. It's just, oh, it's terrible. There's people that live their life that way. You know, you don't have to live your life that way. You know, you wake up and your hair's frizzy. I don't have that problem. Or you wake up and your hair's flat. I remember a day when all the ladies had their hair like this big. Remember those days, church counselors? And that was sort of the style. And so you wake up, it's humid or something, and everything sort of drooped. And I remember all the girls just being so upset because their hair wasn't, you know, 10 stories big. There's always these dramatic experiences that happen to you. You know, there's a breakup. A little bit of a breakup. And you know, you've been dating for quite some time. You became a couple in the morning. You broke up that afternoon.
I loved him. He was my soulmate. I just knew it.
You know, dramatic experiences. You know, but teenagers have to deal with real issues as well. You know, I've had a really good life. God's been really good to me. Every once in a while, though, I say every 3 to 4 years, something, you know, big happens in your life, and something just sort of dramatic happens. I remember when I was 11 years old, and we had a house fire, And I was able to get out. I had some second and third degree burns, and my mom and my sister was able to get out of the house fire, but my dad passed away in that house fire. I tell you, that was a dramatic experience. I was not ready to deal with death, let alone the death of my dad. And being put in that spot of dealing with that kind of drama, for lack of a better term, it was something. But the Lord helped me through it. I'm so thankful I had a godly mom that kept me in church and kept me going to camps like this one. It was just amazing to see how far the Lord was just able to help me out in my life through that dramatic experience. I was in car wrecks, not my fault, of course, but there's been a car wreck. It wasn't my fault, but someone lost their life. Boy, that was a dramatic experience. I was thankful that once I started putting my trust in the Lord to help me out with that experience, He just guided me through. Was in a wreck this fall. Of course, it wasn't my fault. And I totaled my truck, I totaled my trailer, and there I was, right outside of Cincinnati, Ohio, on the far left lane, right next to the retaining wall, being like, Downs, what did you do this time? We stopped traffic out of Cincinnati. Everybody was staring at us. It's like, hey. Sort of awkward. That was dramatic. It was amazing once you just put your trust in the Lord that He's able to guide you through. You know, if I go around every single one of you and I would say, hey, if you had something dramatic happen to you, you could say, oh, yeah. And it'd be something totally different than what I've been through. And I think, wow. Well, how did you deal with that? And you could attest the same answer no matter what kind of drama it was. It was because of the Lord how I dealt with it. He gave me the grace that I needed to get through with it. And you know, God wants to help you out in every single type of dramatic situation. You know, I never had to deal with divorce before, but there's many of you that's had to with your parents. I never dealt with a lot of physical issues. But some of you have. Some of you have had to deal with different diseases that's come through, or you broke your arm or your legs or something like that, and that was pretty dramatic. I've never had to deal with that before. But if you put your trust in the Lord to help you through it, those kind of situations, He'll help you. And He'll guide you every step of the way. And this morning, I just want to take a look at what we can learn from Exodus 14, because no doubt they're going through a dramatic situation. The children of Israel, they just left slavery in Egypt. God did great miracles that took place. And they left Egypt, and they're going over to the promised land. And as they're going over to the promised land, they show up, and there's the Red Sea. Well, they don't have boats or anything like that. How are they going to get across this sea? And then they look behind, and here comes the Egyptians, and the Egyptians want to kill them. I've never been through that kind of drama, have you? I need to escape. I need to get out of here. What's going on? Help! Moses, you said you were our deliverer. You said our God will save us. We are dead. It's a dramatic experience. We're going to take a look at these four truths that we need to remember so that we can deal with these dramatic experiences like the Israelites did. The first truth, that you need to remember is that God's going to take care of you. God is going to take care of you. And Moses said unto the people, verse number 13, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. I'm so thankful that we have a God that's going to take care of us. That's a promise that we have in God's Word. He's going to take care of us physically. You know, the children of Israel, they just seen all these miracles that took place back in Egypt. Do you remember the 10 plagues? They were able to do, it's just amazing all the different miracles that were taking place there. But if you read on in the book of Exodus, they were able to cross the Red Sea. They got to some water. They tasted the water. It was bitter. They said, we're going to die because this water is bitter. We don't have any water. And Moses took a stick and put it in the water, and it was made sweet. They weren't able to get manna. They were going to get food, and God provided them manna. They weren't able to get water again. It came out from the rock. They didn't think they could take the promised land, and God just continually helped them over and over and over again. And God said, I'm going to take care of your physical needs. But also, we serve a God that's going to take care of our spiritual needs as well. I'm so thankful for that. He said, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. It doesn't matter how big of a drama that you're going through in your life, God will not leave you nor forsake you. I was reminded of the verses that Brother Tim preached on just a few days ago. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and what will happen? He shall direct thy path. That is a promise that we have, that God is going to take care of you. Not only do we remember that, but we need to remember also that God answers prayer. God answers prayer. You know, the children of Israel, they just wanted to get out of Egypt, and then they finally get out of Egypt. They show up at the Red Sea, and they think, we're just going to die. That's why you brought us out here. What kind of leader are you? They forgot what happened back in Egypt with those plagues. The plagues of the frogs, the lice, the flies, the livestock that was diseased, the boils, the thunder and hail, the locusts, the darkness for 3 days, the death of the firstborn son. God was showing them time and time again, I'm going to take care of you, and I hear your cry, I'm going to deliver you out of Egypt. But so often we live our life forgetting what God's done for us in our past. Don't forget about that. We serve a wonderful God. I was preaching one time in Bill Rice Christian Academy, the school that we have here, and I was talking about the goodness of God, and I looked over at my wedding ring, and I was reminded of how God answered prayer with my wedding ring before. I remember it was several years ago, April and I was just first married, and she was with child with Peyton, and we went over to Henry Horton State Park, and at Henry Horton State Park, we do a lot of different games and stuff like that, and we were playing flag football. Have you ever noticed especially when there's no referees in flag football, it quickly turns to tackle? Because you're like, you grab that flag a little too hard, it's over for you. You know, it's just sort of how you do it. And so this one guy, he came over, and he was a high school worker, I think, and he came over and he hit me pretty hard, and I didn't see it coming, and he's like, I got you, Brother Matt. I was like, I'll get you. And so I'm like, hey, I'll guard this guy. So I left him open on purpose. Has this ever happened to you before? I left him open, and he caught the ball, and I just went, boom, just like that. And he just fell on over, and he's like, hey, that was hard. And I was like, it was a good one. And then all the next thing you know, we started wrestling. I don't know how that happened, but we're just having fun, you know. And he's like, are we going to play? Are you guys going to keep wrestling? I was like, I don't know, it's sort of fun either way, but we'll go ahead and play flag football again. So we went over, and this guy was saying, set, hut, hut. I looked out at my hand, and my wedding ring's gone. Oh, no. This is bad. This is really bad. And so I went, and I just started looking. Like, where's my wedding ring? They said, hey, Downs, are you going to find your, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to find my wedding ring. They're like, oh, hey, Downs lost his wedding ring. I'm like, be quiet, kid, what's your problem? And I kept looking around, and he said, what do you want us to do? I said, find my wedding ring. And so everybody that was playing football, we're trying to find the wedding ring. So we're searching all around, searching all around, searching all around. More people came from the ranch, and they said, hey, what's going on over here? Downs can't find his wedding ring. Oh, he's going to get it. Yeah, I know, come on. So we started looking around. Next thing you know, we have about 100 and so on staff. This year we have 102, and we're so thankful for every single person that comes at the Bill Rice Ranch to help us in the summer. and we got in a straight line. And as we got in a straight line, 102 of us or so, we were combing through the grass trying to find this wedding ring. Well, the ministry's coordinator, Mr. Dale Stover, was there, and he came over, and he knew exactly what was going on, and he came over to me, and he's like, "Downs, hey, man, it's getting dark. I know, Stove, just give me just a couple more minutes, man. Let me find this. You know, my wife with child, and she's an emotional person right now, and she does things, man. I got to find it." And he's like, "Come on, just a few more minutes, but we got to get these kids home. I understand." So we're looking, and he comes back. "Downs.
Okay. Go to the bus."
"But you didn't find it!" "Be quiet." My wife was over in a pavilion watching this whole thing happen. And she asked Mrs. Stover, "Hey, what are they doing over there?" And Mrs. Stover knew exactly what was going on. She said, "Oh, April, you know your husband and his dumb games. That's what they're doing out there." She said, "Okay." It's a pretty natural occurrence, you know, so it's not a big deal. Boy, I was sort of emotional about it because I just lost a wedding ring. And I'm getting ready to have a kid. You know what I'm saying? I can't even keep track of a ring. How am I supposed to keep track of a kid? And all these things are going through my mind. And so I thought, I need to talk to April about this. When do I need to talk to her? Because, you know, you got to do it at the right time, especially when a lady's with child. Do I need to stop by Sonic first or, you know, whatever I need to do? And so I said, "Hey, how's it going, hon?" She said, "Good." And I thought, do I want to do this alone or do I want to do this with, witnesses? Yes, I'll do it with witnesses. And so I told her, I said, "Hey, I need to tell you something." "Okay."
"I'm a terrible husband."
"Oh, no, you're not today. No."
I am a terrible husband.
"I'm an awful husband. You know what I did?" "What did you do?"
"I lost my wedding ring. I'm so sorry."
And she looked at me and she said, "It's okay, Matt." "No, it's not okay." And I just sort of lost it there, you know, for a little bit. I was like, "No, we're supposed to have a kid, and I can't even keep track of a ring, and I just can't stand this." So I just drove home, and I'd made a vow. "I'm finding that wedding ring." She's like, "Matt, it's not a big deal." I said, "It is a big deal." So we had the next morning off for whatever reason, and so I went and rented a metal detector. There's some Civil War battles around that happened around here, and so I went, and there's, you know, Civil War nostalgia all over the room. I sort of felt out of place, and I came in, I was like, "Hey, how's it going?" There's a guy in a Civil War sort of garb, and, "Hello, son." I said, "Hey, can I rent a metal detector?" "Is it, you're probably not trying to find Civil War artifacts, are you?" "No, sir, I'm not." He said, "What are you trying to find?" I said, "I'm trying to find my wedding ring." "Do you got a plan?" Yeah, I was going to get the metal detector and go where I lost it." "I'm talking a better plan than that." "Okay." "You need to have a pattern. You need to have a certain way how you're going to do it. Or the only way you're going to find this ring is by dumb luck." "Okay." He said, "You need to go down all the way down. And then go all the way back. All the way down and all the way back. That's the only way." Civil War guys, you know, everything's sort of intense, you know. So I was like, "Yeah." You rented it, and now I know what I'm going to do when I retire. You know, I'm going to rent these bad boys out because I think I could have bought one for that. But anyway, put in the trunk of the car, and I went all the way there, and April was with me. And I was asking the Lord, you know, really all night long. And as I woke up, "Please, Lord, help me find this thing." And I started it up, and I cranked it all the way up, you know, highest frequency. It's like, every time it beeped, that means there's metal. So you turn it on, beep, 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 beep. Oh, nice. Nothing. Beep, beep, beep. Nice. Nothing. Beep, beep, beep. This is getting annoying. Beep, beep, beep. I don't know if it was like finding metal in China or what the deal was, but it was taking me forever. I did the best I could. I kept with the plan. I was out there for 3 minutes, and I just felt like, I just said, "Lord, I don't really have a whole lot of time. I need to find this thing. Please just help me with this. And I just went over to a spot where, you know, where he was wrestling around a little bit. And I turned it on, and it just went crazy. I looked down in the blade of grass, and there was my wedding ring. I said, April, I found it! She said, stop it. Your jokes are terrible. I said, I really did. I found it. And we just flat out rejoiced over it. Because God answered my prayer. Now you could say, well, Brother Matt, I don't really think, I mean, woohoo. Okay, you found your ring. That's great. Well, the reason why it's not a big deal to you, because it wasn't your ring. Our God is a personal God. God wants to hear from us. God wants to help us in everyday situations. Remember, God answers prayer. Talk to Him about your dramatic experience, and He'll be more than happy to help. We need to remember that God's going to take care of us. We need to remember that God answers prayer. We need to remember that God has given us help. God has given us help. Look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I behold, and I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I'll get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. God's given us help. It would be nice to live in the day that when God spoke to people. You ever thought about that before? I get lost periodically. Not when I'm getting to churches, but when I'm driving around town. You know, where's the Walmart? So I sort of feel like I can just sort of feel by the makeup of this town where the Walmart's going to be. And I sort of, you know, try to wing it from time to time. And every single time, it seems like, I end up getting lost. And it'd be really nice when you get to a four-way stop that you could go to the Lord and say, Lord, left or right?
Left.
Thank you, Lord. And you know, you can just go on your way. But you know, God doesn't give us instruction like that. He's given us the instruction in His Word. Let me ask you something, teenager. Are you in the instruction book? Are you reading your Bible? Are you working on your relationship with God? God has given us the answers. It's the Bible. Live by it. Use the help that God has given us. Not only has He given you help through the Bible, but He's also given you godly people in your life. He's given you a youth pastor. He's given you a youth pastor's wife. He's given you church counselors that love you and are trying to help you. And they are giving you advice. They are giving you godly instruction every single week. But you're ignoring it. So often I meet teenagers, the only time when they want to listen to instruction is when they get in trouble. How much better would it be if you would listen to the instruction before you get in trouble? Listen, so you don't get in trouble. It's a lot better of a life you live just listening to the counsel that God has given you. But you're ignoring the preaching of the Bible. You're ignoring godly people that God's put in your life. You're ignoring the parents that God has given you. There's a reason why who's your parents is your parents. Because God made it so. Listen to them. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is... Obey your parents. And there's some of you today, you've ignored instruction from the Bible, from godly people, from your parents, and you need to get right with the Lord today. You wonder why these dramatic experiences keep on getting worse and worse and worse, or maybe why they're happening. Maybe it's because you're not paying attention to what God's trying to tell you to do. I always wanted a power wheel growing up. You know what a power wheel is? You know, you get one of those little cars and you go around. I always thought that'd be awesome to have a power wheel. And so when Peyton was old enough, I said, Peyton's going to get a power wheel. And I remember getting that power wheel, and it was a Jeff Gordon power wheel. It wrecked a lot. And it had flames on it and everything, and I was real excited about it. And I was trying to teach him how to do it. Well, first off, there was, on the throttle, there's the turtle. And the turtle, you know, it doesn't go very fast. It's sort of like this speed. So it's not an adrenaline rush. And if the grass doesn't get mowed, it's even slower than that. Boy, Dad, this is awesome. So I realized quickly I need to get the bunny throttle on it. So we unscrew the little screw and we put that up, and I wanted to give him some instruction. All right, Peyton, this is how you steer. You know, you go left, and you want to go this way, you go this way. You want to go this way, you go this way. And when Dad says stop, you let go of the gas. So let's work on that. So he'd go, I said, go that way. He'd go that way. Go that way. He'd go that way. I said, Peyton, stop. Good. He was getting really good at it in their front yard. And so I started messing with my phone or something, not paying attention. I told him, don't ever ride on our sidewalk because it would go way too fast for him to handle. Well, all of a sudden, I hear the tires hit the sidewalk. And I thought, uh-oh, Peyton, stop. He didn't stop. And he kept going. Right on past me. All right, Peyton, stop! Well, at the time, I had a fifth-wheel trailer, and he didn't see it coming. It was only 40 feet long. That's probably how he missed it. And he went underneath the fifth-wheel trailer, but he couldn't fit underneath the fifth-wheel trailer. The power wheel could fit underneath, but he could not. You with me? Some of you are like, So basically, he went flying through. I said, Peyton, stop. And he was like this. Dad! So he went wham. He wouldn't let go of the gas. And so he'd hit the fifth wheel, come back, hit the fifth wheel, come back, hit the fifth wheel, come back. And I said, Peyton, let go of the gas. Stop, Peyton, stop. So I picked up Peyton, I took him out of the car, and he looked at him and he said, Dad, that was crazy. Well, what happened? Well, he ignored instruction from his dad. He went flying through, I said, Peyton, stop. Peyton, stop. Wham, 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 wham. Peyton, stop, Peyton, stop, Peyton, stop. Peyton, stop. So often, we as God's children, you're not paying attention to the preaching of the Word of God. You're not in the Word of God. You're not listening to your parents. And you're wondering why you keep finding yourself in trouble. Because you constantly ignore the instruction from the Word of God. Let's get right with Him today. We need to remember that God is going to take care of us. We need to remember that God answers prayer. You got to remember that God has given us help. And lastly, our time will be done. We got to remember to do our part. We got to remember to do our part. Look at verse number 20, Exodus 14. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by day to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. Verse 21 in chapter 14. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. It made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the hosts of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the hosts of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, that remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So it's a dramatic part of our story. God told Moses to put the rod out, the staff out, and all of a sudden the waters departed. Dry ground. Body of water on our right, body of water on our left. And he said, all right, walk on through. What happened if the Israelites would have said, you're crazy. I'm not walking through the Red Sea. There's no way. That's crazy. That water could crash down upon us. What happens if we get stuck? I know the ground looks dry, but I don't know. It could be deceiving. No, I don't feel right about this. I'm just going to hang out here. Well, what would have happened was the Egyptians would have got to them. God did his part. Now Israel was supposed to do their part. And I think a lot of times you think, boy, Israel, of course they're going to walk through dry ground. But I just started thinking about things. Boy, it would have been a little scary, don't you think? Walk across. How many times you walk through a body of water like that? No, we never have. And I don't know much about this Red Sea, but what if there's like sharks there? There they are. You see them. Hello. And you got a little kid. I don't know if you've seen Samuel Thompson, but he likes to get in everything and have a lot of fun. He's my buddy, and he's about 2 years old, and he likes to get into everything. Can you imagine a mom with a kid like Samuel walking through? He's walking. Ooh, whale. Get away from the water. And I'm telling you one thing. I would not be the kind of person to be like, ooh. Just in case something would happen, gigantic turtle bite it off or something like that, I'd be walking right in the middle. It'd be sort of scary. There's some of us this morning, you've been standing still, you've been waiting on God to show you what he has for your life, and he's shown you through the preaching of the Word of God what you're supposed to do. I don't know what it could be. Maybe you're here and you're saved, but you've never been baptized. And the Lord's shown you through the preaching of the Word of God that you need to be baptized. But it's scary to you. You mean I got to get in a bathtub in front of everybody with a robe on and get baptized? It sounds scary, but God wants us to do it. It's a picture that you are a Christian. It's a picture of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You need to be baptized. It's in the Word of God. Take that step. Even if it is a little scary. Some of you, you just need to get more involved in church. You're not involved in the youth group like you should be. You're not involved in visitation like you should be. And the Lord's just been showing you, you need to get more involved. And it may seem scary to you, but it's amazing. If you just take that step, God will take care of everything. You know what some of y'all have been praying about this morning? I've been praying that some of y'all would just take the step of, I'm going to grow up. You know, my attitude's not right. You know, I got a bad temper. You know, the things I joke about is just not pleasing to the Lord. I'm going to take that next step. I'm going to be a leader in the youth group of someone that is going to be a picture of someone that is just doing what is right. Some of y'all need to take that step. Dr. Bill talked about taking the step of going to a Christian college. It may seem scary to you. Take that step. God's calling you to full-time Christian service. Maybe you need to take that step. I don't know what the step that God has for you to take this morning, but let me encourage you to take it. God will do his part. Do yours.
Thank you for listening to the Life Tools Sermon Audio Podcast today. If you would like to know more about how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit our website, www.billriceranch.org, and click the Good News tab. You can also find more sermons, books, music, and ministry resources online in the Bill Rice Ranch store. Visit today or call 1-800-253-RICE.